When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Most Haunted City on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And today we have some very special guests that you might recognize if you have been in the ghost scene for a little bit. We have the Ghost Brothers with us.
Hey,
hello, everybody. What's happening?
So, y'all, for those of our listeners who may not know or haven't seen your show, would you like to introduce yourselves, give yourself a little background?
You know what? There's nothing more I would love to do than introduce myself right now. Okay. My name is Dalen Spratt, and for those that don't know, I am the bad boy of paranormal himself, a.k.a. Sexual Chocolate, a.k.a. the leader of the Ghost Brothers, a.k.a. I am better than Juwan and Marcus, look better than Juwan and Marcus, and it's my show, but I just let them own it.
Hey, guys, I am Marcus, right. The actual entertainment of the show, the actual one with talent. Dalen. Nah, man, I'm part of I'm one third of the illustrious electronic.
Ooh, give me one more.
Electrifying.
One more.
Def defying.
Yeah, we ride motorcycles.
Yeah. Well, not with definitely with helmets, but not fast motorcycles. Not motorcycles you just put in the city.
They got three wheels.
Yeah, two three wheels. Whoa, it's a little fast for me. I am the Marcus Harvey, aka Hot Ham and Cheese. Ooh. Stick it to the roof of your mouth, ladies. That used to be my old stripper name back in the day, so don't judge me.
Crazy. Oh, but last, certainly not least. It is.
Who is he?
Juwan and only.
Ooh.
Oh, is it?
I like that.
That's a paranormal poppy, ladies and gentlemen. I am another third of the Ghost Brothers. I am been voted the sexiest of the Ghost Brothers.
But that is still up for debate.
That is good.
Once it hits the internet, it's pretty much fact.
Because you know the ladies love big boning men. You know what I'm saying? They love big boning men during this time of season.
Listen, you should have stuck with it because then you drop weight.
And yeah. Like,
you
just lost.
Couldn't hold that position
Couldn't hold the chubby lovable.
All the chubby chases. Yeah. Marcus was out there waiting.
I was waiting and y'all didn't say nothing. Except for Tina.
Thank y'all so much for having us. We are excited.
Naturally.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thank y'all for carving out some time because if you didn't know, they are here in Savannah right now for their Ghost Brothers Savannah Takeover, which is just going to be an insane weekend. And I know y'all are like going to be going so hard. So we really appreciate you coming out and actually being able to spend an hour with us and talking and telling your stories to our listeners. So it's really exciting. Now, I do want to start out with the first thing, and probably the biggest question that we've gotten from our listeners when they found out that y'all were coming on the show. You always tease that, you know, like you started getting into the paranormal because you each had your own experiences when you were kids, but you never told us the story. So what's the story? How'd you get into this?
Oh, it changes every five stories.
Okay.
And it's really like, if we tell you now, it's like we're locked in.
Yeah.
And that's fair.
Oh, no, that makes perfect sense. And, yes. And it's interesting because I think every ghost hunting show has the secret story,
the origin story
that drives it. But I think in that regard, if we're not going to get into specifics, if we followed into how did your paths cross?
I could definitely do. I got you for that one.
You sure?
Yeah, I got you for that one. me and Dalen met first. I was selling him crack, and
that was the early 80s.
He was on that stuff. I'm just gonna put that out there.
When they got to me, he was strung out.
He was a lot of hot winters and cold summers.
It was crazy. Wild.
But I had a younger brother at the time when we all grew up together, and literally one day it was raining, and he went outside and like he had this little toy boat. Yeah. And he was just playing with it outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just floating down the street, and he was chasing after it. And I think, like, maybe the boat went into the drain or something.
Right.
Some got him.
Yeah, saw his first clown.
It was crazy. It was crazy. So me, Juwan, and Marcus came together after that, and we was just determined to try to find my little brother. But
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Bro, hold it together.
I'm trying, Juwan.
Y'all got tissue?
Hold on a second, man.
I think we do.
Because we couldn't find the little
boat. We ain't seen him since.
But that boat is still a ruin.
Does it still float too?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
They all float.
It gets crazy.
Everyone floats.
It's crazy
out here.
No, man.
None of you look like you're from Maine.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
There was one of us. There's one in Maine.
In all of Maine.
I don't know how he got there.
This is on the south side of Atlanta.
Okay, gotcha.
Trenches.
Nah, man, we all had our own individual stories, man, growing up. Like, I know for me personally, I used to visit my grandmother all the time when I was little, like 7 years old, in a small town in West Texas called McCamey. And I'd never forget, I went to visit her one spring break, and I had an older cousin who was in her 20s. And she had a best friend. Her best friend was dating a guy. He worked for the animal control, and they got into a domestic dispute. He ran outside to his truck and pulled out his rifle. He shot her once in the head and shot himself in the head. True story. She survived. He passed away. This is a small town in West Texas. Everybody knows everybody. So my grandmother decided to go view the body of the young man because, like I said, everybody knew everybody. So her and her friend took me with them to this funeral home to visit and see this young man. And I never forget walking into the church. His body was in the casket at the front of the church. We walk in, and he's wearing like this light gray suit, white shirt, and a thin black tie. And I remember thinking to myself and asking my grandmother, I was like, I thought you said he shot himself. Like, even at seven, I've seen enough cartoons, like Daffy Duck, you blow yourself with a shot, you know what I'm saying? At least your bill flips around.
Wait, so you were expecting
your whole jaw.
You expected homie to have a blown off bill?
At 7 years old, yes.
Okay, I can understand
that. I was expecting to see a hole in this dude's face. But he literally looked like he was just asleep, like there was nothing wrong with him.
Really?
Yeah, and my grandma was like, oh, this funeral home just does a great job.
Yeah. That's a testimony to that.
Yeah, like, Lacing, New Bethel funeral home. Grade A service, y'all.
She said, they got my business, baby. They got my business. Look at him. This whole face is together.
But nah, my grandmother's friend looked at me and said, Dalen, have you ever touched a dead body before?
Boy.
Y'all, I'm seven. No. I'm seven.
And you wanted to tell her yes?
Sure, lady. All the time.
I saw a dead body yesterday.
Right.
And it's going to be your.
This lady grabbed my hand at seven and put it on the chest of this young man in the casket. This is a true story. I'm looking at my grandmother like, are you not finna do nothing to your friend?
Yeah.
First of all, you're too old to be hanging around bad influences. That's first and foremost. But literally, I jacked my hand off the guy's chest and I ran out the sanctuary like screaming. And there, of course, they came and got me whenever we left. And then that night, I was sleeping on my grandmother's couch. Similar to this one, but it had plastic on it.
Okay.
I can definitely see that.
3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. How hot was it? First off, how hot was it?
It's spring break. Okay. In Texas.
Okay, so it's like
they had to peel you off. You didn't just get up.
You
didn't get
up.
Peel you off.
Sweating.
Yeah, you got suctioned off.
What's the sound effect?
Man, I wake up at 3 and I look into the kitchen and standing in the door frame, I promise you, was that same young man wearing the same light gray jacket, white shirt, skinny black tie, and he was leaned up against the wall frame just staring at me. And I screamed at the top of my lungs. Like, my grandmother came running in the room. Like Marcus said, we make a joke out of it, but she literally had to peel me off of this couch. Like, I was stuck to it, sweating, screaming. And I just remember
sweating,
pointing,
screaming.
And she looked, and he was gone.
Crazy.
My man was sweating, screaming, and stuck.
All in my tiny whiteys, though.
Oh, man.
Interesting theory. Maybe you witnessed your grandmother's booty call.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Earl. I think that might have been Mr. Earl.
First of all, my grandmother's a saint.
Listen, all right.
Watch talk about my grandmother.
All right. You know how them saints be.
Right. Yeah.
Them saints be a little tainted, baby. Come on now. That's how they became saints.
Yeah.
What about you, Jawan?
I was going to say a similar experience. I was young. It was in a small town, actually, in Mississippi, my grandmother's town. And there was a cemetery that was across the street from my grandmother's house. And so, like, as kids in the neighborhood, we used to dare each other to try to run through that cemetery. And kind of like on the show, I'm usually the one that just kind of takes that task. Like, you know what? I got it. I'll go for it. So I started out in the cemetery, and I took off running. And, like, all of a sudden, I feel like this presence of something behind me immediately. I don't know what it is. And I turn around and I don't see anything. I'm still running. And I still feel this presence. And I'm like, yo, is this one of the other kids? Like, I don't see what's happening here. I turn around, I still don't see anything. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, can you even outrun a ghost? If that's a thing, right? Like, I just don't know what it is. I'm just running. Mm-hmm. I'm probably like 10, 12 years old at this time. But
you don't see the three security guards chasing your ass.
Hey, no man, you know this is my job. He got the inhaler out and everything.
That's why he thought it was a ghost. That man had asthma.
That's what I heard in
Hold
my ear.
Hold on a second, young fella.
As I'm hopping over gravestones, that's what I hear in my ear.
That's him saying, ooh, I can't wait to catch you.
Haunts your dreams.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm literally tired of you kids.
That's all that is.
But that was my first introduction to, like, being in a place and feeling like the presence of something that I couldn't see.
Okay.
And like, I was like, I don't know what I was running from, but I was just running with, like, no explanation.
He said, I was running.
Well, as you can see, those two stories have literally contaminating a death scene with him and trespassing. Mine was legal. So we were actually doing the show when I had my first experience with the paranormal, which was kind of unique. I think that's what made the whole situation with us coming together and teaming up, you know, real cool. Cause they had already had experiences. Like I was like, only experience that I've had with ghosts was the Holy Ghost. And that's scripture based. Come on, church. Ebo Shata. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man. I would say that my first experience was when we were at Sorella's Weed House, actually, where we're gonna be investigating tonight. And we were in the enslaved quarters upstairs. Of course, you know, a lot of you know the story. Mm-hmm. And this was my first actual opportunity to investigate the paranormal. These two gentlemen left me on a solo trip in that room, so I was isolated. And just to see, like, the lights flickering and literally feel a presence is something that I was like, okay, this is actually real. And then to actually see a shadow figure appear, it was like, whoa, this is kind of crazy. So, you know, mine was a little bit more when I was an adult, you know, unless when it did happen when I was a kid, I just blocked it out of my mind. I'm pretty sure I probably did that.
At that point, you probably labeled it as an imaginary friend.
Yeah, that's my imaginary friend, Henry, or something. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, who's making stuff move. But, you know, so now that we've been doing the show, man, it's like I'm a firm believer in this stuff, you know, seeing it, you know, countless times, countless investigations. Like, this is a wild world, man.
It's a wild place, baby. Get some danger.
Them ghosts, they some wild boys.
Well, how do you go from interest in the paranormal to investigation? Like, you know, what path did you take? Or was the show the impetus for doing were you doing investigations prior to the show, or was it?
It was definitely the impetus.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm. He liked that word so much that he wanted to repeat it.
Yeah. I was like, don't try to use it right, but he's going to use the definition into the word we caught what you was picking up, baby.
He was like, he said the impetus. Okay, yeah, it definitely was the answer. Hey.
It definitely was the beginning of our journey.
Yeah,
right.
People don't even know that about us. But I think that's what made the people that love us actually love the show, because we had no background in paranormal at all. And to be completely honest, it came from a simple idea of us watching one of the paranormal shows one night, just being on television and not seeing any black people doing it. and just asking that simple question, like, why are there not any black people on television hunting ghosts? Then we quickly found out there weren't that many black people
hunting ghosts. Because black folks really don't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, it's a lot more people now, but I'm talking about go back 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10
to 15 years ago, it was real quiet and hush was the word about black ghost hunters. So we literally searched high and low. I remember us going on Facebook about 10 years ago and typing in paranormal investigation or paranormal groups and getting like thousands of Facebook groups of people all over the country. And we literally wrote out one big message. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we're looking for black ghost hunters. Are there any in your organization? Do you know anyone? Can you put us in contact? We sent out about 1,000 messages, and literally every day we would go back and check responses, and it would be like, the first message, black ghost hunter, ha, 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 ha.
They had to put all the A's in there.
They put like H-A-H-A-H-A.
Not just A's.
There was one that had question marks. Like, they didn't know what black or ghost hunter was.
What?
They come in that form?
Oh, they don't make those.
That model hasn't been executed yet.
Literally, we couldn't find not a single person. It was one psychic lady in, like, England. And I think she might have been mixed.
Yeah, okay.
She was like, my granddaddy was black. Did that count?
Does that count?
But we could find no one. So we just did it one time ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we shot a video, edited it down to maybe a minute and a half of just us running and screaming and not really knowing what we were doing because we didn't have any equipment, no cameras, no money, nothing. Yeah. And we put it on YouTube. And that was it. And
that, like, is amazing.
5 years later, I'm in LA. Juwan's in Atlanta working. Marcus is building his own shop. Get a random email.
And then the impetus came?
This is when the impetus comes.
Yeah.
This is when it starts.
This is when impetality is happening.
Impetality
is happening.
Empanadas definitely was brought to the table.
Implementation?
Right now.
The emphasizing of.
The emperor's eyes was staring. But no, a random email. It was a television production company. They said that they were working with a television network. They were interested in producing a show about black ghost hunters. They said that the only clip that they could find of black people ghost hunting was this 1 minute clip that we posted on YouTube 5 years earlier.
Wow.
Wow.
So they say, we just have one question for you. Like, are you and those guys on that film? Like, are y'all professional?
Right.
Are y'all really black?
Well, first off,
let's start.
We want to make sure that we're PC.
We're checking the box
here.
Hey,
this is Tom
here.
This is Tom here.
They said, are y'all black? No, no, no.
African American.
We can't say color. I mean,
right.
No, we can't go there.
Right. But no, so they were like, no, I but serious question, you guys are professional paranormal investigators. Mind you, we've only done it for 20 minutes 6 years ago on a YouTube video. But you know, we some hustlers.
But in actuality, think about it.
Are we professional?
Like, listen, if you want us to be.
Listen, Hulk Hogan.
Love them.
Michael Jordan.
All of them love
and
us.
And Emmitt Smith. All what do they have in common with us? We are all professionals, baby.
Okay.
I was wondering where
I was wondering. Goats and so professionals. Okay.
We lied.
Oh, man.
We lied. We lied to them folks because I'm like, if you bold enough to send me an email and call me and ask me this very specific question, I need to know where this is going.
We're here.
Right.
I'm not going to cut it off at the ankles and tell you no. You know what I mean?
To hear the definition of professional ghost hunter.
Right.
Yeah, man, we got.
Yeah, there's a wide open field there.
Man, we got EKG meters and
we got KEG.
We got proton packs. Man, we are ready to
CTE.
Go.
Wait, no, that's not it. That's funny. I got a phone call right after that like, yo, Juwan, if you get a call, just say your yes.
Just say yes.
Just say your yes.
Just say your yes.
Your yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a professional ghost hunter. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
I actually have
absolutely.
A badge. That's what I told
them. And it was funny how they were trying to quiz me.
Oh, no.
And I was just taking the story to somewhere else all the time. It was like, so when was the first time you investigated? See, now investigation is really fun.
Right.
And we do it often. Next question.
How you say, but I've never been indicted.
But I've never been indicted. And you won't catch my fingerprints.
It wasn't until we got flown to New York. They flew us to New York, and it was a room full of people in suits. Like, these are like the production head-of-head network.
It's network.
They wanted to meet us. We walk in this room, it's about 17 white people sitting around a table. We're like, oh, okay.
So it is real.
Right. This could go either way.
It could go either way. And it went the right way, though.
Yeah, right. But we was like, look, man, be honest with y'all. Look, we're not trying to do a show where y'all trying to prop us up to be these professional ghost hunters. We've never done it before, but I think that's where the magic is in this show.
Absolutely.
You have three real-life friends coming into an environment that they've never been in and giving honest, actual reactions. And that's what we brought to the table. And we told them, like, we didn't want to be in a position where you have us trying to lie to people, saying that we've been doing this shit for the past 100 years, and this is what we do in our spare time, and we're these Ed and Lorraine Warren's proteges and all of this stuff.
As much as I didn't even know who Ed and Lorraine was.
To be honest, I still don't. When we did the Conjuring episode,
yeah, that's what we found out
last season.
Oh yeah, man, I love.
I know the Charaine Hotel.
I love Charaine and Sydney and Charaine.
Oh, oh my god.
No, what's funny is, like, even though it was like this big, like, out of water experience for us, right? We were just kind of like fish out of water in this moment. We were new and as vulnerable as we were, I think that really helped our journey. I think people were able to connect to us more because of the authenticity and vulnerability that they saw in these episodes. I mean, it's three best friends, and like, if you put us in a terrifying situation, like, you really get to see our real reactions, but you get to learn, we're learning so much about each other in front of the world. Mm-hmm. And that's like a really vulnerable place for us, but a beautiful place for our show. And I think that was the earnestness that really catapulted us.
Because that's funny, because that you said that we were learning each other. Because at the time, Daylan and Juwan, you know, they had already had their friendship as far as like Lion Brothers, you know, going to college together, master programs. I met Daylan by just random project that we were doing together that really brought us and a lot of other talented people together that kind of like made like a really impact. So we were like vibing on that. So I didn't even meet Juwan until we kind of like started talking about, you know, us like really linking and doing this. And so, you know, each investigation was like,
but y'all was working together before that, weren't y'all?
We started working together our first season. We had crossed paths. So we were both in television. All three of us were in television and film before we did the show.
Right.
But we worked behind the scenes. So I did wardrobe. He did hair and makeup. Mm-hmm. He was also doing wardrobe. And so, like, Marcus and I, like, we knew of each other. Mm-hmm. He was cutting hair. I was in the wardrobe department. So it's kind of like we knew each other, but we had never really worked together. This project came about. And that's when we kind of, like, had moments where we had to sit down and just have conversations and really kind of got to know each other. But that was – we didn't start working together until, I want to say – Our first season. We started working on a project outside of Ghost Brothers.
Which was kind of crazy because we were literally going from, I think we were doing either promo or we were still filming a few episodes when we started a show. The show that me and him were working on was called Survivor's Remorse. Mm-hmm. It was a Starz Network show. he was doing the wardrobe. I was doing the cuts. And like you said, when you're working on set together, I'm in one trailer, he's in another trailer. We only kind of come together when the actors are on set and start kind of chopping it up then. But it was cool because, like, we had a whole show and we were working as, like, just regular guys, you know what I'm saying? So people were like, y'all have a TV show? Why y'all even here? Like, because we only getting $2 per episode. The first season was rough, but
don't think anybody understands that notion that a lot of these shows, you know, even at Taps started where they're always doing plumbing. You know, they're doing their job. And it's because there's not, again, professional ghost hunter. It's like a professional ghost hunter, you mean somebody who's making their living because they're chasing ghosts and not selling the fact that they're chasing ghosts or, you know, writing the book that they sell because they're chasing ghosts. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because that tells us how passion-oriented it is, how, you know, inspired by the talent it is. I know when you guys first showed up on the scene, I immediately latched on because you approached it with humor, which is something that was just missing. Because if you take ghost hunting too seriously, you're missing a whole part of the experience.
Right.
Because humor and fear go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And so watching you guys just riff off of each other or in the situation really did, it connected. It was a far more connective experience than watching talking heads explain and go through the very serious, you know, ghost hunt.
And you'd be surprised at how And this is just being honest, like a lot of network people typically aren't very creative.
Sure.
And that's not even in a bad sense. Just they see what's good and they're going to, you know, lean into their investment. So the first season, they were really on us about trying to calm our humor down. Like, y'all remember all that stuff? There's like, you know, really need you guys to be a little bit more serious. And it's like, I don't know. I just, for some odd reason, all of us kind of like fought back with on that, but not necessarily in like a defining way. It was like, well, if you can make us not be funny in this situation, then good luck to you. But like, we're seeing things that we've never seen before, reacting off of each other, like never seen each other in fear, never seen each other like, you know, like handle any of these crazy situations. So it's like, it was impossible for us not to have some type of way to where we can break the tension.
Absolutely.
When we're in something that we've never seen before.
And just because like we find something funny or there's a underlining humor doesn't mean we're not taking it serious.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
And it's that was really the interesting thing that we had to kind of always kind of get across.
But that's just our personalities. Like, you can put us in any situation. If we got kidnapped together right now,
yeah,
it's gotta be jokes.
It's gonna be jokes in the back of that van.
Why you over there? Why you over there crying? Yeah, yeah, somebody get my name.
Do you see it took three people to grab Marcus?
That's because I was fighting. I was strong. You see, I didn't take nobody to get David in. Right. He just got
David
in.
David just walked in by himself.
He walked in and put the blindfold on by himself and said, "Take me." Use me.
But it's things like that that make ghost hunting fun, because like something we talk about on the show even is a lot of times ghost hunting can be really boring. It's just like sitting around waiting for
sometimes. When have y'all what investigations have y'all been on where but I feel what you're saying. Yes.
Right. Ghost hunting is like,
it's 99%.
Yeah.
It's like fishing.
Police work. If you ask a police officer, like the thrill of being a police officer, what's the percentage of that, like on your day to day? They'll tell you like 95% of the day is just you riding around. It's very small percentage where something interesting happens. And it's the same way with ghost hunting. Like, it's very rare that, you know what I'm saying, as soon as you walk into a place, doors start slamming.
we as a community of like that have like production, like television shows or what, we're part to blame though, because like we're making something that's entertainment. So, like, our show, yes, it's an hour long, 30 minutes long, and you're thinking that something's happening all the time.
Every 3 or 4 minutes in this hour.
But you don't realize, and we've investigated this place for a
week. 3 days.
It takes 3 to 4 days to film every single night.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And so, like, you get this, people get this false sense of, like, what an investigation is actually like.
Yeah.
You literally are sitting there for hours on end trying to just see if you can get one piece of evidence that may or may not make sense to you at the time. Like, you're trying to build the story together, and it's wild. It's like watching paint dry.
Oh my gosh, I'm glad you said that. So, like, on my YouTube channel, all I do is go to cemeteries and just use spirit box sessions.
Right? Shouts out to it.
Hey.
Graveyard Shift.
Congratulations, bro.
100K
subscribers.
Congratulations. This man started this joint a year ago. Was it a year?
Less than a year, baby.
Less than a year.
11 months, baby.
What was your goal? Tell them what your goal was.
My goal for 1 year was 15,000 subscribers.
Now, where you at?
I am at 100,000.
Where your pockets feel like?
Hey, listen.
We ain't talking about that right now.
What we doing, baby?
Come on, baby.
No, man, but what's interesting is, thank you. I appreciate that, y'all. Thank you. Yeah, Dalen Spratt on YouTube. Dalen Spratt. And the show that I do is called The Graveyard Shift. But I do spirit box sessions. So I go to cemeteries and I go to people's graves. I cut on a spirit box and I try to just have a conversation. But people are so used to watching television, they're like, why don't you just do an EVP at the grave? Like, do a whole video just doing an EVP at the graveyard. And I was like, okay, let's really talk this out from a production standpoint. A spirit box works because there's constant chatter coming out and you can kind of have a conversation. An EVP is just you holding a recorder, asking a question, and then recording silence for 10 to 20 to 30 seconds, and then trying to listen back to see if you hear something. People don't realize it takes you 30, 40, 50 times of doing this and listening.
To get one
to get
high.
A high.
Right.
Did they, say, did they say high?
Sometimes you have to go back on right. your computer with your headset.
Like, it's and not really. And you're right. I blame us on television for putting out an hour-long television show that got damn 30 EVPs, a shadow figure, a door slamming, and
I don't know how
cracking.
We did it. I don't know how we did it.
Somebody getting their booty rubbed.
Yeah. Right.
Every episode, somebody get filled up.
And it's not
up.
By an angel.
But again, come on like now, you no said, Della. We're in there for 5 days. Yeah. We're doing 3 days of investigating. We're doing 2 days of interviews in this place. So you're shooting hundreds and hundreds of hours of footage every right. single week exactly. to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You done?
Okay. I just
he felt a way about that.
Vent, no. Man.
That's good yeah. stuff.
One yeah. man felt a way about that.
So we saw, well, we've seen the episode of y'all doing the Fitzpatrick Hotel, and we wanted to compare with how your experience was, because we recently went out there, and we just got that place. I don't know what is happening with their ghosts, but they're starved. They need attention, because they were, like, as soon as we came in.
It was with it.
Mm-hmm. So how was it for y'all? If I know that was, like, season one, so it's been a while, but, like, still.
No.
Yeah, at the Fitzpatrick Hotel, mostly because we got really interesting Estes Method sessions out of that. Which
I thought you about to say something else. Okay. We got really interesting STDs out there.
What?
Whoa.
Spiritually transmitted.
We got to watch out for those spiritually transmitted diseases, man. They come in hot.
They come in hot. They'll
get you. Wrap up. You got to wrap up in prayer,
especially if you like a human trigger object.
It's true. Yeah, we were just like, it felt like they were just, not, no pun intended, dying to talk, you know, like they really wanted to, especially the little girl spirit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you encountered her at all.
That was my room.
Yep.
Yes, we stayed in.
That was my room.
Yeah. Yep.
And we were the only people in the entire place. They put me in that room.
Yep.
And then they were all behind the front desk.
Yep.
As far as humanly possible in the hotel.
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like alone in Mirrorland.
Yep. And guess like, why that mirror, you're alone in Mirrorland and that's still active.
Yeah, I saw that. Whoa, and no, whoa, thank you.
Whoa, a non-closed portal that still is open. It's still open at Fitzpatrick Hotel due to Juwan Mass doing a Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary?
Bloody, of all the things to do. And
I'm a tough act to follow.
But no, that was real, though. That was a very active spot. I mean, a lot of things happened. One, that was the first time I ever got touched by a ghost. And it was a nice caress. Very, very, very polite, very nice, soft.
Was it consensual?
At first it wasn't.
Okay, right.
Nice. But they convinced me. Okay, we can have it happen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we can have it happen. They gave me their paperwork and everything. But nonetheless, also in the basement, I experienced some crazy stuff. Yes. I was sitting in an isolation situation, and I don't know if y'all, there was like a door that started lighting up.
Oh.
Like, the rim of the joint started lighting up. I had never seen anything like that in my life. That's why I went right back up them stairs. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. So the first night that we were there, I was in my room and they basically called me like, what are you doing? Because they heard this huge crashing sound, like just an ungodly crashing sound, which was a little weird because they think that somehow I was making this ungodly crashing
well,
sound.
Well, we thought you fell down the stairs.
Right.
Oh, and okay.
It's like, we were like, oh, God, Chris is dying.
The second night, we were going down into the basement and the cellar door slipped out of my hands and slammed shut. And that was the sound they heard. They heard that cellar door slamming all on its own in the middle of the night.
Wow. I'm telling you.
There's something off with that cellar.
That's an off place. Oh, that cellar was crazy.
It was an active location.
Yeah, because all that, wasn't that where they hung the young lady or something?
Yeah, Polly Barclay.
Polly Barclay, yeah.
I remember that.
Barclay's knowing his history.
I couldn't get her name to save my life during the episode. Yeah, I remember. I think y'all made fun of me for that. What's her name, Marcus? Shut up. Parley, Beckerson.
it really was so active, you know. It's and it's interesting because it, like, after that investigation, because it was so active, we were like, oh God, everybody's gonna think this is just like how every investigation goes. I'm like, no, these are ghosts in the middle of Georgia with nothing around them, and they're like, please interact with us. Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting that y'all went there, and it seemed like you were getting some pretty similar activity in the way of, I know the flashlight situation was happening.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
The spirit board that we made.
Yeah, no.
And that was a new one to me, the spirit circle, the spin the bottle.
Yeah.
I was not familiar with that one until that episode.
We weren't either.
Yeah. We were forced to do that.
Yeah. Are you really?
Yeah, because we couldn't use a Ouija board on television because of
copyright,
the name,
right?
Copyright. Yeah. Oh. So we were just like,
life size
spirit. Let's just make one ourselves.
Yeah. When I saw it, I was like, huh.
Yeah.
That seems very invitingly dangerous.
Yeah. Surprisingly, it worked.
On the board, in the board. I was like,
listen, bro. Listen, that was probably the fifth time in life that we had ever investigated anything, y'all. Man. We was winging it.
We're living loose, baby.
But it worked. Let's just say it worked.
Right.
Living loose is what they called it. You're just living wild and loose. Fast and loose is what we were doing in those investigations.
Fast and loose.
There you go.
So for your investigation tonight, what are you hoping to get out of it at the Sorrel Weed House?
Some love.
Okay.
All right.
You got touched last time, so is that what you're looking for this time?
Hey, man.
So is that a standard thing that happens to you?
Not just to me.
Somebody always gets touched.
They really like Daylan a lot of times, though.
No, they don't, Marcus. Well, I'm just going to say that.
Daylan, you actually lie very well, and you're doing it right now. Because you know those ghosts love you. Every five shows, who touched my ass? Where was the lumberyard?
Sawmill.
Oh my gosh.
But that wasn't necessarily an ass grab. That was I felt like trying to take my wallet.
Pickpocket.
Because the whole story behind that place was like they would kill people to, you know, get better wages. So like if your boss or coworker might make a little dollar extra more than you, and he's working a little bit too close to the chipper, you might just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Knock him on out, knock out the competition. But so it felt like Juwan was standing behind me. And we were interviewing someone, and I thought that Juwan had stuck his raw hand
into my back.
That just wasn't how, with your raw hand.
Tell me, man.
There's a raw hand. Does he lick his hand?
I didn't put the whole accusation on you, man.
He licked his hand. That's how you knew it was raw.
Raw implies that it was skin to skin. That's what he was trying to say.
That's what it felt like.
You went through his shirt. Yeah. Raw.
The wallet.
He spread his hand.
Yes. What's happening?
I hope they don't find the
money. I thought that's what it was. But Juwan swore up and down that he did. And I didn't see him jack his hand back.
You didn't see him jack his hand back.
By the time I looked. But it literally felt like somebody put their hand like on my cheek where my wallet was.
That's funny. To answer your question, because we're straying. Lord, forgive us.
That's okay.
But no, this investigation at Sorrel Weed House is going to be, it's just going to be like a paranormal 101. Like a lot of times people come out and they have not been paranormal investigated before. So we just kind of show them the ropes. This is a good location because this is where we actually shot our sizzle. So people don't know that. So like we're going to go and just kind of give them the little one, twos, and threes of paranormal investigating. And then it's always tough because you got a group.
Right.
So then it's really contamination. Tough to do, get evidence because of, like he said, contamination.
So basically what we're saying is just lower those expectations when you come in. Right.
And that's worth noting because there's organizations and there are ghost hunts available, pay for play all over the country.
Where do P4Ps in?
That's why the bed's in the back.
I got you. Out here paying to play out here, baby.
But if you're going on these ghost hunts with 30 to 40 people, you are really, cutting the difference. You are now, just saturating the place with a lot of different energies and a lot of different people looking in different ways. And the experience can be watered down, so you have to kind of, pull back on the expectation of it being, a ghost hunting television show atmosphere and being, a good learning experience.
Yeah, we tell people all the time, man, ghosts are people too, so you can't come in here trying to expect them to jump through hoops just because it's 40 people in here.
Right.
Like, what can you do? Do something.
Who brought y'all to my house?
Like, bro, it's 11:30.
Just because I'm telling you to dance don't mean you gonna dance right now. It just doesn't work.
It's 11:30 and y'all all are in my house.
I'm really hoping y'all will leave.
That's sound like you remember back in the day when you'd be sleeping, your mama call you downstairs right. and you'll dance.
Get up, Marcus. Show them that little dance you did earlier today.
It's 12 o'clock. It's a school night. They out there playing cards.
Man, what? That's funny.
It's so true, you know, and that's actually something I tell guests a lot, because people come to Savannah and they're like, I expect to see a ghost in this town, because we have that, you know, stigma with our ghosts. Our ghosts are hams. They love attention. Mm-hmm. So that's good. You're likely to have an experience if you look hard enough, I guess. But I always tell people my version is ghosts aren't on the payroll. I can't make a ghost just pop out right. of the walls. You know, it's not going to happen. If it does happen, great. You had an experience. That's wonderful. But also, some people are not great to have in a paranormal sense, because some people are just not the energy that you want in that situation.
And that's, I'm like, real.
You know, it's and you can't tell people that.
Like, we've sometimes experienced people in the group that are just really here to antagonize.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're like a friend of somebody. They came in and they're like, they're demanding to see a ghost, but they're doing it in such like the most like obnoxious way possible. And like, that really is unfortunate for like those who are really trying to take this this time seriously. But I don't know, to your point, I understand.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's and at the very least, they're going into a really awesome house, you know, and getting to experience that, because the history of the Sorrell Weed House is just so fascinating, right. and all of the experiences that people have had there. I mean, you can't deny those experiences, especially when so many people have had the same ones over the years. So I'm glad that y'all are doing the Sorrell Weed House. It's like one of our favorite houses in the city.
Shout out to Calvin, man.
Oh my gosh, he's great.
The homie,
Calvin.
We love Calvin, and he has done such a good job. If you have not watched that deep dive that we did on the Sorrell Weed House, and we interviewed Calvin and a couple of the tour guides, you should watch that episode. I believe, JT, is that a Para Junkie exclusive? Become a Para Junkie so you can see that episode.
So y'all better hop on that Para Junkie.
Y'all better get on it. Tie off on that thing. On that doggone Para Junkie.
That's exactly where it came from, though, is because, well, Chris made the comparison of when you have your first paranormal experience, it's like ghost heroin.
Mm-hmm. So y'all were strung out at one point, too.
So, okay. I could have sold to you. Okay. That's what I need to know.
Them customers, baby.
That's how we count them. That's all I heard. Cha-ching.
That's all you heard.
That's all I heard. I didn't hear nothing else but cha-ching. I'm feeding it, baby.
Exactly.
We got the food
and,
later.
Our listeners, they ran with that one. And so they named themselves the Para Junkies.
Para Junkies. I like that.
Yeah, and you
know, I should make a T-shirt with a big old heroin needle
with a ghost in it.
With a ghost inside.
Like,
Go ahead, give me 20% of that one.
Yeah,
guys.
That's actually good.
Yeah.
Well, you can have Halloween if we can have that idea.
The heroin needle might go a little bit longer than that Halloween. Maybe
it's crossover.
Crossover.
You gonna put the logo right here? You gonna put the logo right here on the arm? Oh, that's going to be kind of cool, though.
That would be cool. But
that's dope.
Yeah.
What's the crazy thing that's happened on your YouTube channel?
Madison,
go ahead and ask that.
Oh, yeah. So JT just asked from the ether, what's the craziest thing that, like, paranormal experience that you've had on your YouTube channel?
I don't know if it's crazy, but it was just really, really interesting. I was in the cemetery, and I typically try to look for older graves, like visually, and I know it sounds bad, but just like visually appealing headstones.
Yeah.
Something that's just not like, you know, a square that's on the ground. Nothing's wrong with that, but just as a backdrop, you always like elaborate something for people to look at.
If you like saw this fireplace in it, you'd be like,
oh, that's cool.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, why not? But so I was walking around the mausoleums in one cemetery in Mapleton, Georgia. And, the crypts, you know, the ones that look like little mailboxes, but they're all like people in them.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm just walking by and y'all, I stumble. I literally tripped over what I thought was like, I don't know, my foot or just the concrete, just being clumsy. I stumble. So in my mind, I tell my audience, I fell for a reason, obviously. So why not just do a spirit box session here? So I sat down, the mausoleums are behind me or the crypts are behind me. And I'm just like, does anybody want to talk to me? They're like, yeah. And they was like, I was like, where are you? They was like, look around. So I looked this way. And it was like, no, the other way. Oh, shit. Okay, all right. So I looked this way. And there was literally this one name on the crypt. And it said Hakeem Williams. But he passed away last year, 2022.
Oh, wow. Oh.
I never try to talk to anyone that passed away in recent years just out of respect for their families that are living, because people don't believe in it. People don't agree with it. So everyone I talk to is like 1800s.
Right.
Something was just like Google Hakeem Williams that passed away in 2022. And so, yeah, I Google him and this change.org, you know, the signature, it pops up and it was from his mother. And apparently he was killed in prison last year, and his mother is just trying to figure out what happened.
Oh, wow.
So I pull this article up. I'm like, damn, all right. And so I do the spirit box session. He literally, he tells us his name, and he says that, I was asking specific questions about what happened, and I was like, is there any evidence? And they was like, there's no evidence. He made a comment that the person who was responsible for it is not there anymore, and he kept saying, set up. These what just kept coming out the box.
Oh, wow. Mm.
That was the end of the session. I didn't think nothing else of it. I posted it on YouTube. Literally, a girl that we went to college with, Jania. I don't know if you remember Jania, dark-skinned Jania. Yeah. Man. I ain't talked to this girl since college. She hits me up on Instagram, and she was like, Daylen, I've been messaged by, like, three people that I don't know that they're looking for you. I said, they messaged you. They looking for me. I'm all tough and shit. Like, who looking for me? who looking for Daylen?
You in real Mexico.
Yeah, he get real.
Yeah. She was like, are you out here talking to, like, dead people or something? And she doesn't follow the ghost side of Daylen. This is somebody I went to college with 20 years ago. And I was like, well, I kind of do this YouTube show where I go to cemeteries. She was like, well, whoever you talk to.
Was that how you typed it?
Yeah, I was like,
okay, just making sure.
Like this. She was like, whoever you talk to, their mother, stepfather, and the mother of their child is trying to reach you.
Holy cow.
And I was like, did they sound mad?
Now you're scared. All that pump. All that pump out your chest.
That deflated. Real
no, nothing in that chest no more.
Was they mad? Because you know they don't play like that, right?
I wasn't nothing. You say he had a gun when you seen him, right?
Who you don't play like that?
Who play like that? Who play like that, Craig? Who play like that, Smokey?
So I end up checking my messages in like the dummy folder of Instagram. You know, they have like that third folder that you never check. There was a message from this young lady. And it was the young man, Hakeem's, it was the mother of his child. And she was telling me, she was like, Daylen, I'm writing you this message with tears in my eyes. She was like, I just watched the video that you did with Hakeem. And she was like, what else did you get from him? Because everything that you were saying was absolutely correct.
Oh, wow.
She said that he said that the person who did it was no longer there. That was one thing. He said that there was no evidence. And he said that he was set up. She said what happened was a security guard handcuffed him in his cell. His cellmate then stabbed him to death. The video footage was taken away and was removed, so there's no evidence. The person responsible for it is no longer there. The security guard quit and moved somewhere else. And him being set up, she tied him or handcuffed him and allowed the prisoner to do it. She was like, we just don't have any way to prove any of this. You know what I mean? So we're battling trying to figure this out. But the fact that Hakeem validated that stuff to you, she said, just lets us know. Like, so that just blew my mind.
That's incredible.
Like, that took my, it took what I did to a whole nother level. Cause I never, it's easy to go sit in a graveyard, have a conversation with somebody that passed away in the 1800s, and you're hearing what's coming out the box, but you're just playing verbal charades, trying to put some piece something together, as opposed to someone who literally died 10 months ago and are telling you what happened to them. And their living family is validating what they're saying.
Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Now you like Batman.
Bro, listen. Right. I left there, but I was like, okay, now I got, listen, I got to solve some crime.
Yeah. now
you can really do this for the people.
Bro, I left
now
there.
Now there's a series behind it.
Listen, show, man, I went to JonBenet Ramsey right after that. I went to her grave.
Did you really?
I did. God damn it, I did. Didn't nothing come from it, but I went.
But you was close.
I was close.
I was waiting for a new clue. I'm like, is this going to be it?
She has a, you got to watch that video. She has a pinwheel. Someone left a pinwheel at her grave. Y'all, hand to God, if you watch the video, it's not an ounce of wind blowing that day. There's trees all in the background, bushes, no leaves are moving, anything. I'm like, hey, JonBenet, do you mind if I sit down and talk to you? This pinwheel just spinning. I'm talking about like, you would have thought a car was going, the wheel on the tire was
revving up. Yeah.
There was no wind. So we literally had like a 30-minute conversation with her just stopping and starting this pinwheel.
Wow.
It's crazy, man. That stuff is real. That stuff is 100% real.
Kid spirits love those pinwheels, though. It's like a really interesting way to investigate if you haven't tried that. There's a pinwheel out at, have you been to the abandoned amusement park, Lake Shawnee out in West Virginia? Yeah. It is, that place is creepy. It's a bunch of kid ghosts, and they have a pinwheel, and apparently, like, the little boy who drowned in the lake or whatever when it was an amusement park, he communicates through that. And we caught it on camera when we were doing, it was the same way. We walked up and we were like, hey, if you're here, you know, can you spin the pinwheel? And it just goes, and we're like, and same thing, no wind, nothing at all. And we caught it on camera where he started doing, you know, that thing like old people do where they go like, ooh, like with the glasses. He literally started flicking my glasses on camera and we're like, this is so creepy. But I think kids find it more interesting and easier to communicate through simple objects like that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's familiar and it's not scary. Why? Same reason why the Boo Bears work, you know.
Or cat balls.
Or cat balls and things like that. Because it's like, it's not a REM pod where you sit it out and it's like, touch that glowing sphere. Or
this strange canister that screams at you if you get close to it.
Exactly. That's insane.
Were they calling those bears Boo Bears before we started calling them that?
No, we called it Gangsta Boo.
We called it Gangsta Boo, right?
It was always a Boo Bear.
Okay.
Yeah, the Boo Bears.
Boo Buddy or something like that.
Boo Buddy.
Yeah, something like that. And there's all sorts of ones. But, if you do go back and you do get any kind of evidence, let us know. Because I love... I do not love it for the reason that I'm happy that she's dead. I love that case just because I find it incredibly interesting. But y'all, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Amazing.
Yes.
Appreciate you.
You're just so fun. Like, all three of you are so fun. And
I really took it personal. I thought she was just talking about Daylan for a second.
Listen, man, guys.
She definitely wasn't doing that.
I was like, wow.
Talent knows talent, guys.
Definitely.
No, I'm really feeling the segregation right now.
It's all right.
Y'all over there, we over here.
This chair keeps me on point, baby.
Literally.
It's on point. It ain't a point.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
No, honestly, y'all have just changed everything for paranormal investigation.
It's true.
And you're really people to look up to in the community. So
that's dope.
Yeah, it's.
I ain't gonna lie, I feel like we cut the line, but I'm not mad.
I am not gonna front either.
There's a thing called affirmative action.
Yeah,
I would say that far.
And we are
even
grateful
more than
for
that,
it.
Is there's the full on stigma that we just like accepted forever? Because I'm reminded of, you know, the Eddie Murphy. Joke about how short a horror movie would be, how short Amityville Horror would be if a black family bought it, because they're just like, get out, gone.
All right,
you know,
yeah,
okay, bye.
For sure.
Because
you got it.
Even like, you know, I've been doing ghost tours in this town and investigations in this town for 30 years, and there is a whole, you know, we don't talk about that in our family. We don't explore that.
Right.
You know, we have our faith. And our faith locks the door on that. Mm-hmm. And if it does happen, it's the family. You know, it does not go past the porch. So that really creates this interesting thing, that, because I think that since you've been so public and so successful, there has been a uptick in black ghost hunters, which is amazing.
You know, because it is
a field that was missing an entire demographic, really.
Representation. It's, absolutely. Yeah.
It's almost like... almost like coming out the paranormal door, to be totally honest. Like a lot of times,
the paranormal closet.
Yeah, oh yeah, the paranormal closet. There you go. Yeah. I didn't want to come out
closet.
That. Yeah, the broom closet.
The broom closet.
Marcus came out the closet.
No, that's why I didn't want it to
that's
be
a soundbite.
I didn't want it to be.
I saw what David did there.
See how he tried to manipulate narratives. He's a narrative shifter.
We'll change it. If it's not the closet, it's the pantry.
The pantry.
The paranormal pantry.
Marcus came out the pantry.
Marcus came out the pantry.
Now you're trying to be funny.
Okay, okay. I see what's happening with them green pants. I see.
Why
you look down? You just look down for no reason.
But
now, what? Real talk though. Like, a lot of times, like even when you see, it's funny because like now, like you said, now that we do it, like there's so many like African Americans, like brothers and sisters who come up to me and be like, "Yo, man, like I didn't want to tell nobody this, but every time I go into my basement." Like I hear down home blues in the back and some Black and Mild smoke always comes. I think it's my Uncle Johnny. Is that right? You know what I'm saying? And we'd be like, yeah, that's, you know, confirm or deny or whatever. I mean, like, you have people who are just like really, you know, feeling comfortable, not necessarily having to differentiate between their faith and their curiosity. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're blending both of them in now. So I think that's what we kind of do.
Now, you know, it's crazy, man. This past weekend, I had my 20-year high school reunion.
Okay.
20 years.
Bro. Word.
And I went back to the high school reunion, man. There was this one guy there, and this was like the thug of the school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I.
You got bodies.
To be honest, I'm surprised to see you here.
You
know
what I mean? Like, you out?
Right.
You out? Made okay.
Parole early.
Okay, okay. Who wrote the letter?
Right. So, like, I'm sitting up there chilling, man, doing my thing, man. Like, you know, I had a little drink in my hand, minding my business. And I feel somebody tap me on the shoulder. And it was him. He was like, hey, Daylen. And I was like, I went right back to high school. I ain't got no lunch money.
Yeah. Hey, dog, stall me out, bro.
Man, he was like, nah, Daylen, man, put your lunch money back in your pocket, man. He was like, man, I want to tell you, man. He was like, man, I like what you're doing out here. What you talking about, man? He was like, man, them ghosts.
Yeah.
I said, what you mean, Carl? He was like, man, say, man, I believe in that stuff, bro. He said, I done caught your show a couple times, man. I just want to say, man, I appreciate what you're doing, man. I ain't, you know what I'm saying? I ain't never really talked to nobody about, you know what I'm saying, the stuff I done seen. He was like, but seeing you do it, bro, I was like, damn, man. Like, it lets me know I ain't really tripping.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, dog, that's crazy. Bro, you used to beat people up all through high school.
And now you believe in ghosts.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they're chasing
you. Yeah.
I beat a couple
those
people
down.
Those
are the souls of the people that you dealt with. Like, called karma, buddy.
That's what it's called. They're haunting you, my brother. But yeah, no, bro, it's funny because even like, man, I also cut hair. So I cut a lot of celebrities' hair. One of the celebrities I cut is Nas. And it's amazing that every time we're on tour, he's like, hey, have y'all gone investigating any lately? He said he's seen every episode of Ghost Brothers. And it's like, I wonder who else watches this. Nas is watching it.
I know
Jay-Z's watching it too. You know what I'm saying? Or somebody
at least
else.
Heard of it.
Everybody. I mean, and that's the funny thing about it. Like, we were in Chicago. We were staying at a hotel. The bellman, another brother, was just like, he was like, hey, man, I didn't want to say nothing. Cause you know, Nas is on here, but I love your show, dog. I was like, wow, you actually recognizing.
Say it louder.
Yeah, that I'm here, that you know what I'm saying, like that you watch our show and I'm here doing another job. It's just funny to me. And you know, it's kind of crazy.
I think the biggest one for me was I don't know if y'all remember this. We was in New York, man, and this was after the first season of Ghost Brothers aired.
Okay.
There was a producer there that worked with Oprah. And she said that when our show first came out, they was all in the room together.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, oh, these are these black ghost hunters. And Oprah was like, who, what? And she was like, yeah, the Ghost Brothers. And she's like, Oprah was like, oh, they're cute.
Watch out.
I don't mind being taken care of,
hey,
baby.
I don't mind.
I can play my role, baby.
I'll play my position.
You can be a brother husband.
I'll be a brother husband. Easy.
Come on, baby. I'm a brother husband, baby.
I'm not gonna cause no fuss.
Right. Exactly.
But I was like, that's dope. Oprah said we was cute, man.
Yeah, man. A lot of people rock with us,
man. It's really been a journey, but a blessing.
Absolutely. Well, y'all are only going up always, I'm sure. And so we're excited to see what you guys come up with next. And I'm very excited to watch all of your cemetery videos
now. Please,
yeah.
Go to YouTube. Absolutely. They're all going to be cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. Do y'all have anything else you want to plug before we wrap it up?
We got New Jersey coming up, right? In November.
Yep. Got a New Jersey Paracon coming up next weekend.
Very nice. I mean,
outside of our weekend, we got going on right now here in Savannah. We got a whole lineup of things. So I don't know if you guys are out. We do have a couple of tickets still available. StraightGhosting.com. If you want to check that out. But, man, you can follow us all on social media. I'm Juwan Mass on all things social. You can definitely check out my YouTube channel, too. I got some stuff coming out. So please, I would welcome all subscribers soon.
All righty. Well, thank you guys again. I hope you have an amazing weekend. Try to get some sleep because, my God, like, you're just going to be so busy. So,
yeah,
y'all try to rest. Don't work yourselves too hard. But, well, thank you guys again. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And with that, my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all. And straight ghost him, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Stay, and straight ghost
stay
him to the
spooky,
pair of junkies.
Yeah. Get that fix.
Yeah.
Get some Narcan.